Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and my guest today is Arturo Alas. He's being called the rock star of the California Republican Party because of his renegade campaign against the regulators in the Golden State. Alas has campaigned to keep the Sriracha factory in business, despite big government goons trying to push them out. But his spicy brand of free market politics won't give you heartburn unless you can't stand freedom. Arturo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Austin. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. So here's my number one question for you. Why does California hate freedom?
I have no idea. I don't get it at all. This is the Golden State. We should be loving freedom over here.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the status of the Sriracha factory? Are they going to Texas? Or are you going to be able to keep them around?
You know what? We fought really hard for them, and I had an opportunity to actually meet David Tran, the owner, and I had to personally ask him to please stay and fight this out, and that we would have his back. And so I was able to gather enough of the community to put enough pressure onto the city council that they finally ended up caving and dropping all their charges of this nuisance that they thought that they had going. But once we put enough pressure on them and they realized that the people were paying attention, they backed down pretty quick.
Do you feel like your campaign to sort of keep those jobs in California has really added a lot of wind in the sails of your campaign?
I think so, definitely. This is just one opportunity, or we saw it as an opportunity to really show what we're about, and also just to show the community that if you get involved and you're not apathetic and you really hold these people accountable, they actually do fold and they have to listen to you.
That's
which is great.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So what do how do voters react when you tell them that you're running as a Republican in Southern California? What's their face? What is their facial expression like?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people are automatically, they want to shut down if I start my conversation as I'm a Republican running in your district. Mm-hmm. Usually what I do is I just go right into my ideas and my principles and what I believe in. Mm-hmm. And then they usually ask me, oh, well, what party are you with? Mm-hmm. And that's when I mention I'm a Republican. And mm-hmm. that kind of surprises them.
Uh-huh. They don't do the sign of the cross and try, you know, drive a stake through your heart or anything?
No, not at all.
All right. So tell me this. Here's a question for you. How do you react when you hear the word libertarian?
I love the word. Mm-hmm. You know, I think libertarians have a lot to add to the discourse that we're having right now. And I think they have a lot of common sense solutions that can actually work. Mm-hmm. And I think their principles being freedom and liberty mm-hmm. go right along with what the Republican Party used to be about and what they should be about.
Mm-hmm. So you say used to be about, you think the Republican Party has sort of gone off the rails? Is that what you're suggesting?
You know, I thought so. I thought for a long time that they did. I couldn't really distinguish that big of a difference between the left and the right once they got into power. Mm-hmm. So, but I am seeing a resurgence of these principles of liberty and free markets coming back. In fact, in the LA County Republican Party, we are all about liberty mm-hmm. and free markets. So that's really been something really motivating for me to see. Mm.
Okay, so I'd like to delve into some issues that you might have to handle if you're a congressman. I think the voters in your district would be very interested to hear your thoughts on these matters of national and international importance. The first question that I'd like to ask you has to do with a recent bill that was passed in the House of Representatives that was foreign aid. It's a foreign aid bill, hundreds of millions of dollars that was going to the state of Israel to defend themselves against rocket attacks in Hamas. And ostensibly, the purpose of this money is being used for defense purposes, but a lot of people worry that this money might be used to harm civilians in the offensive that Israel has undertaken. How do you feel about the spending on foreign aid, specifically to countries like Israel and others?
You know, Israel is our ally, and I feel like we should honor, you know, our relationships with our allies. But with that being said, I think foreign aid in general doesn't really benefit the people of the country that this money is going to, and it really doesn't benefit us as citizens of the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's to me, I see it as money coming from the working class here and going to the rich in other countries. And I don't really see the benefit to the actual people living there a lot of times. In this case, in particular with Israel, you know, it's a very tough situation. You know, we have an organization like Hamas who is using people as human shields, as what's being reported. And, you know, Israel obviously is going to have to defend itself when it's being attacked. So it's a very sticky situation. I feel like we shouldn't be involved in a lot of these situations and you know, ultimately, I think we need to start working with other countries in different ways as opposed to just trying to bribe their politicians or wealthy class.
Yeah, one of my favorite sayings is somebody said that foreign aid is taking money from poor people here and giving it to rich people in poor countries, something like that.
That's exactly right.
All right, so I'd like to pivot. Let's go to national issues. This is a big crisis that's happening right here in the United States. The immigration situation on our southern border. There is a horde of children amassing on our southern border, coming not just from Mexico, but from nations in South America as well. And what is your solution to the immigration crisis on the southern border with the understanding that the United States is a nation of immigrants?
Well, you know, it's a very tough situation. We have this humanitarian crisis going on our borders, and I've made it a point, actually, with my campaign to try to get supplies and get the community involved to getting supplies for these kids while they're here. But I feel like the inability of our federal government to maintain a clear policy that works for the citizens and for immigrants who want to come here has led to this. There's no clear indication from the White House or from the federal government what is our true policy and what we're willing to get behind and what is the law and what isn't the law. So that the lack of clarity has led to this, in my opinion. But, you know, we do need to look at a solution that benefits all of us. The fact that we have such a big welfare state and nanny state, I think, is the biggest problem. And I think that's the one thing we don't hear a lot of people talking about.
Right.
I think a lot of these people want to come here to work, just like my parents came here. I'm a first-generation American, and I know that they came here. They never got into any sort of government assistance. They just wanted the opportunity to work and to have a better life. And I feel like people like that are what make America great. And we need to get back to those basics, and we need to start looking. If the problem is the welfare state, the inability to afford or to take care of so many people, we should start empowering people to take care of themselves. And I think that would solve a lot of the issue in the first place.
Okay. I'd like to move on to another issue that's somewhat related. It's come to my attention that we are bringing persons infected with the deadly virus, the Ebola virus, into the United States. Now, but we're told that they're being brought in under very strict conditions, and they're being brought to Atlanta to, you know, the finest facilities in the world to maintain, you know, make sure that we don't have an outbreak of this deadly disease. But then, you know, I look at a story that occurred last month where Maryland, they had lost all of these vials of infectious diseases, something like, I think they had like the bubonic plague was just left in a cardboard box in a storage facility somewhere. And so we're supposed to sort of take their word for it, that the CDC is managing these people and that we won't have to worry about it. But then you look at what the record of government is when it comes to, you know, their track record for, you know, keeping this stuff safe and secure. How do you feel about the United States government bringing Ebola-infected patients into the United States?
You know, right off the bat, it makes me nervous, you know, just because we've been witnessing all the lack of responsibility and ability of the government to handle any sort of crisis in a positive way. So when they're starting to bring something like the Ebola virus over here, I have this nervous feeling right off the bat. But you know, we do have some of the best resources here medically available, and you know, my only hope is that they do maintain this as quarantined as they say they are. But I mean, what I would personally have loved to have seen is us to set something up in Africa, as opposed to having to bring people here and exposing the American people to something as deadly as the Ebola virus.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I'd like to talk about politics again, and this is just sort of speculation. We're tossing out 2 years ahead. Let's say it's 2016. You've been a congressman for 2 years. You know, obviously, you'd be running for re-election again. But two men ask for your endorsement for president of the United States. One is Rick Perry. The other, Rand Paul. Who do you endorse, and why?
That's easy. I would go with Rand Paul.
Okay.
Why is that? I think that he has more in line with my views, and I think his views in particular, and his views in particular would be the most beneficial to the American people, especially right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that he's got a good sense of where the people are in the U.S. and what they need, and he's the only one really going out there and solving problems. And that's what we need. We need people to reach across the aisle, make friends with the Democrats. You know, if you're a Republican, and Democrats need to do the same thing. But he's the only one really giving me hope that he's has the ability to do that. And he's showing it. I mean, just right now with what he's doing with Cory Booker on the bill that he just recently proposed on mandatory minimums. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, both sides can agree on, and something that we need to get fixed immediately and can benefit us as people immediately. And he's doing it. So he's doing things that I really love and admire, and I'm rooting for him. And I'm going to do everything I can to help him get elected should he decide to run.
That's very interesting. So tell me, where can people go to find out more information about your campaign?
They can find us at www.electalos.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at Elect Alas as well, and Twitter at Elect Alas.
Arturo Alas, he's the rock star of the California Republican Party. Arturo, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.